Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I just want to take a moment before we get started, and I believe in creating a culture of honor. How many of you guys were blessed by your worship team? Come on. I got here this morning at a little after 9. There was already 20 or 30 people in the building, and listen to me, church doesn't happen by accident. And that we need to honor those who serve and those who pray. And I came this morning and some of the guys were upstairs. I said, hey, will you pray for me? He said, Joe, come right on in. Let us pray for you. And I want to make sure that we create a culture of honor in the church. That we first and foremost, we honor God, but then we honor those who serve, those who love, those who are called, which we're all called. And somehow we've got to create that culture of honor. And so before I begin, I just want to share a little history. I am not unfamiliar with this church. Frank Short is a friend of mine. He is a mentor. He is a gentleman that whenever I'm in distress, I call him. Whenever he's in distress, he will call me, and we will have some heart-to-heart conversations. I'll be honest with you. A couple years ago, he invited me to go to Colorado, and I was a little hesitant, and I went, and Harry was there, and Ted was there, and Jerry was there, and a bunch of other people, and what's his name? Brady. And Brady was there. Now look, after 6 months of deep therapy, after spending 4 days with Brady in Colorado, I came back to my senses. Not too much. Where's Brady at? Oh, here he is. Hey, buddy, how are you? I didn't even know you were here today. And then they came and they asked me to speak at one of the marriage prayer breakfasts, and Brady was Brady. I mean, Brady is Brady. And so I took a little bit of a hiatus, a little sabbatical from coming back, and I only took 4 months of therapy that time, so I thought, hey, I'll come one more time, Brady. I only have 2 months of therapy, so be easy on me. And I say that jokingly, but really, I do have a heart for this place. And please know that I met Pastor Mark this week, and we're having a conversation, and he said, hey, Joe, what are you doing at your church? And I pastor a church, and I run a nonprofit, and we do great things for the kingdom of God, in my opinion. And he said, what have you been preaching on? I said, I'll be honest with you, I spent the last 7 weeks preaching on healing, deliverance, and freedom. I feel like it's time for the church to be set free. I feel like it's a time for the church to rise up. I think God has the greatest days ahead for the church, but how many of you know we have some things we need to deal with? And so as I was talking to Pastor Mark, he was, Joe, that's great. Why don't you preach that Sunday? I said, Mark, I've been preaching for 7 weeks, an hour a week. I have 7 hours into it. He goes, I'm sure you can cram it in 30 minutes. I said, how about if I just stay for 7 hours and we order lunch? Some people just got upset. I wouldn't do that to you, but I'll be honest, it kind of led me to a place, and I wanted to share a little bit of a history. How many of you guys understand the fivefold ministry? Have you ever heard about the fivefold ministry? Pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. And you guys have had great pastors. Listen to me. Frank Short is a great pastor. Let's just call it what it is, right? Pastor Mark is a great pastor. I am not a pastor. My heart is more of an apostolic leader. I want to see the kingdom of God grow. I want to do radical things that are outside of the box. And so sometimes when I come to a church, sometimes I get a little nervous because I'm afraid I'm going to do what? I'm going to stretch you a little bit. And some people, how many of you guys like to be stretched? Okay, about 10%. That's about what I expected. But here's the reality. If we were going to do what God wants us to do, we just need to be stretched. Because I believe that the church is the greatest force of transformation in the world. And somehow the enemy is winning the battle. And we have to address that maybe there's something wrong. Listen to me, this is going to sound a little harsh. Maybe there's some things we need to tweak, some things we need to adjust. And as a pastor and as someone who's a leader in the community, I hear it all the time. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. And I think once the church finds its purpose, understands what God's called us to, we will come alive, and that the church will advance against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Do you guys believe that? How many of you guys want to be part of that movement? So today I just want to encourage you, if you can. Some of you may be challenged. Listen to me. The good news is I'm only here for 1 week. The bad news is Mark has to clean up the mess. And I'm okay with that. But I really want to share just some things that God had put on my heart after speaking with Pastor Mark. And I'm one of those guys, I believe that God can do absolutely anything. I am living proof. I came out of a dysfunctional family. I know no one did. My mother left when I was 10. My dad was a drunk. I raised two brothers from the time I was 12. I got radically saved at 32. I walked away from my business. I walked away from the things of the world. I went to Bible college. I preached in 15 nations. I've seen God do radical things. I've seen God do amazing things. And I tell people, I'm just a redneck from the Eastern Shore of Maryland who desires to see God do great things in our communities. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You all right with that? Even if it's a little challenge, I just want to encourage you. And so I think there's three purposes that the church needs to grasp. There's three things that we need to grasp to understand what our purpose is. First of all, how much does God truly love you? How many of you guys ever question how much God loves you? You all better raise your hand. You all are lying in church today. You should not lie in church. If you have walked with God long enough, there are times and seasons that we need to, that we say, hey, God, are you there? Are you with us? And I want to tell you that God is always with you, that God's desire is to always be there, but that somehow we have to create this intimate personal relationship. I'm sure you all know about God, but my question to everyone is, how intimate are we with God? How many of you guys know the devil knew about God? The devil knew about Jesus. He even quoted scriptures to him, but I don't think there was a whole lot of intimacy there. I'm not saying you're the devil. Don't go there. But what I am trying to ask you and to encourage you is, do we understand that our main purpose in life is to really have a passion for God who created us? Jeremiah 29:13 says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will what? Right? When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. How many of you know God wants to be found? I believe that God sometimes plays a game of hide and seek. How bad do you want me? How bad will you come after me? Listen to me. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be passive. You cannot say, I love God and I want to go after God. I want to go after the kingdom of God and say, well, yeah, maybe today or maybe next week or maybe when the time is right. That it's not this passive relationship. It's not a religious practice. Please understand me. I believe in all the practices that we talk about. I believe in prayer. I believe in reading the Word of God. I believe in worship. I believe in fellowship. I believe all those things. But those things aren't, they don't get us there if God's not in the center. So many times we read scripture and I have to do my devotion this morning. We get up because we're running late for work. Anybody ever do that? And let me just read it to get through it. Right? Or, hey, I have a Bible study coming on. I didn't do my homework or whatever it may be, but somehow we get into these religious, if I just go to church on Sunday, that's enough. If we are going to truly have a purpose and we're truly going to have a passion for intimacy with God, it's going to take a lot of work on our part. It's to eagerly desire someone to know someone at an intimate level. I pastored in Hooper's Island a number of years ago, and don't ask me how I got there, and don't ask me how I got out. I'll be honest, yeah. I went down there, and they said, hey, Pastor Joe, we want you to pastor the church. You'll be here for 6 months. In 6 months, we'll move you out. 6 years later, I was still in Hooper's Island. I tell you, I think God forgot me. Look, I don't think God forgets a lot, but I think he forgot me in Hooper's Island. And I'll be honest with you, I went down there, and there was an old man named Calvert Cannon, was a boat builder. And Mr. Calvert came to me one day and said, Joe, there's something different about you. I said, Mr. Calvert, what is it? I've never seen someone who's so passionate about Jesus Christ. He said, Joe, what is your purpose? And listen to me, my purpose is to have a love affair with Jesus. I don't want a casual friend. I don't want a casual girlfriend. I want to have a passionate, intimate relationship with the creator of this world because he said he formed me, he knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb. How much does God want you? Listen to me. You are not a mistake. He formed you. because he loved you and had a purpose and a plan for your life. And the only way we get to that and begin to understand that is when we begin to understand how much he's created us to be intimate with him. I'll be honest with you, my wife works for a company in Hunt Valley, and they came down after Hurricane Isabel, and that's how I knew there was a God. He sent a woman from Hunt Valley to Hooper's Island so I could find a bride. Is it okay to joke and have fun in church and be honest? It was amazing that God would do such a thing, that the God would send a woman. And I remember talking to her, and she worked for a friend of mine, a guy who has an insurance company in Hunt Valley. And I met her, and I saw her, and I locked eyes with her. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's the one. I didn't know her name, barely knew her name, knew her first name. But everything inside of me said, I have to know her, I have to. I called Grace Fellowship Church. I called John Kelly, who's a friend of mine. Hey, you got to help me find this girl. Are you with me? Our relationship with Jesus Christ should be the same. We should have that same passion. We should have that same desire. Listen to me, sometimes relationships get stale. Amen. You can say amen. But it doesn't mean they can't be rekindled. It doesn't mean that God can't put us back on fire for him. So I wanted just to encourage you that our first and foremost has to be this understanding of how intimate and passionate God is in love with us, and he wants us to reciprocate it. If we can get that foundation right, God can begin to do great things in us and through us. Amen? How do we get there? When you read the word, what are you reading? Come on, who said it? I'm reading a love letter that the creator of the universe gave to us to guide us and protect us, to give us a hope and a future, that we could represent him well, and that we could expand the gates of heaven, that he has a purpose in all of it. God gave us a love. If I pick up this word and read it because I have to get through it, I'd miss the very intent that God wanted. It is time that we say, Jesus, I'm going to find you as I dig into your word. I believe that prayer, ready? How many of you know that prayer is not a wish list? For most of us, prayer is a wish list. Hey, God, I need this, or God, I need that, or God, I wish I had this, or God, I wish I had that. Prayer is an intimate communication, ready, with God the Creator. That it's not just a one-way street, that in the midst of the prayer that God is speaking to us and through us, and he wants to do incredible things. And today in worship, how many of you guys felt the presence of God in worship this morning? Right? God says he inhabits the praises of his people. And here's a reality. Here's my biggest struggle, is that we need fellowship with one another. The problem is the church is taking on the mentality, I'm going to go to church for what I need, and I don't need anyone else. And so when I walk out of here after Sunday morning, it's all about who? I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have people to have fellowship with, you're missing the heart of God, and you can't draw intimacy. Listen to me. Frank Short. Anybody ever get corrected by Frank? Anybody ever get challenged by Frank? Anybody ever have tension with Frank? How many of you know we need Frank? We need that tension. We need each other. And so what I'm trying to get at is that our first purpose is that we need to be intimately, passionately in love with Jesus Christ. And if not, then we really can't be all that God's asked us to be. That somehow we get to this place. Where he's no longer number one. How do I know that? I have lived that wave. And every time I start to drift, ready? I hear that voice in the back of my head. Joe, I have a purpose. My sheep hear my voice. and obey my commands. And the moment I begin to listen to the voice of God, everything on the inside of me begins to change. I've now heard the voice of the Creator, and I am blessed, and He's commanded me to follow Him. And I will follow Him anywhere, at any time, for any reason, without any end in sight. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants us. That's His first purpose that He has for our lives. Amen? I want to talk about the second purpose. Are you guys good with this? Are we good? Look, I'm not here to preach at you. I'm not here to dictate to you. But I'm here to love you in a place of closeness and intimacy that the church can begin to be what God's called it to be. Now, I think about the second purpose. It's to enjoy God and to steward all that He has given us. Wow, what does it mean to enjoy God? What does it mean to enjoy God? Y'all are not used to people asking questions, are you? Huh? To have fellowship with Him. What does it mean to enjoy God? Come on, I know some of the rednecks from Tillman Island are in this room. Wow, when you're walking with Him, ready? Now look, I don't hide the fact that I love to be outdoors. I love to hunt. I love to fish. Can I tell you, when I get out in creation, ready? God is saying, listen to me. I created all this for who? He didn't create it for Himself. He created it for you. In the garden, He said, I give you dominion. I give you stewardship over all my creation. That somehow we need to get back to the place that the purpose that God has given us is to enjoy Him. God is not an angry taskmaster. I want to read a definition of what it means to enjoy God. It means to feel or find pleasure or satisfaction in God's creation. When is the last time you stopped long enough? When is the last time you slowed down enough? When is the last time you stopped to inhale the presence of God and all that He created? I'm telling you, church, that we have messed things up just a little bit. God wants us to enjoy His creation, His blessings, and His commandments. That God has a purpose in all of it. That the God has this desire. Think about what He told Adam and Eve. I created all this, and He said, it is good. I've created all that there is, and it's good. Take dominion and enjoy all that I've created for you. He's not an angry taskmaster. He's not driving us to do more. In my heart, He's pleading us for us to do what? Less. I believe He's asking us to just slow down and to just realize that all the stuff that we go after is not eternal. That the stuff we're going after is what? Temporal. How many of you guys live your life so busy that you don't have time to breathe? How's that working for you? It's not. And listen to me, I'm a busy person. I drive myself way, way, way too hard. So I'm not pointing my fingers at you, but somehow we've got to get this thought process out of our minds that we're going after titles and positions and power and money and houses, and those in themselves are not wrong. God just wants to go what? with us. That through this intimate relationship, God says, hey, I want to walk this thing out with you. I want you to understand this purpose that I have for your life. Ready? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Everything else is going to be added to you. God says, if you come after me first, everything you desire, everything you want, everything you need, I will give you, but you make sure that I'm where? That I'm first and that I'm with you. I can tell you right now, I am old. I had children late in life. I am 60 and my youngest is 16. And she plays sports 6 days a week. How many of you know I can get busy chasing my daughter? She doesn't call me. Ready? She and her friends don't call me dad. They don't call me Joe. They call me Uber. I'm telling you the truth. They say, hey, Uber Joe. But I made a point days where I had to take my daughter and drive and push. That I stop. And I put on worship music. And I go after the things of God. Hey, God, I'm asking that you be with me. God, I'm asking that you guide me. God, I'm asking you to direct me. God, I don't want to do this alone. That he wants to be a part of everything that we're doing. But we are just too busy. I just rubbed a few of you the wrong way, including myself. Because there's times in my own life where I can miss the purpose of God. Knowing that if I put him first, everything's going to be what? It's all going to be good. It's all going to fall in place. But in our society, the worst thing we have in the world is what? You want to hear how embarrassing it is? Anybody ever see how much screen time you use? What is your average screen time? 7 hours and 11 minutes last week. And I do my studying on here. I run my worship music on here. I play games on here. I research on here. But I can tell you that if I'm not careful, this can begin to what? Take over my life. How many of you guys... I trust her. If she can catch me, she can catch that phone. Because I ran really hard. No, I didn't. I slowed down as much as I could. But the we can get in today's culture, in today's society, that you have to grind more and grind more and grind more and do more and do more and do more. And we don't understand that very principle is driving us from the one that we need the most. That somehow we've got to bring him back to the center of everything that we do. It's not wrong to have the American dream. It's not wrong to want good things. It's not wrong to want to succeed. But if we do it at the expense of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we've lost the purpose. Michelle, how long do I have to preach this morning? As long as I want. Wow. You're much kinder than Mark. Hey, man, God's got it all. Go ahead, Ted. Whatever you want, babe. Mark said, Joe, I usually go 30 to 35 minutes. Try not to go any longer. What was that? Maybe y'all should not put this online today. maybe we should just quit. Listen to me, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am one of the most passionate people you could ever meet. And I have no problem telling you that I'm passionately in love with Jesus Christ. When my wife and I went to get married, we were having conversations about relationship. She wanted me to move to the city and work at a big church up there, and I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. So she moved from Hunt Valley to Hooper's Island. Huh? Green Acres. Lope, man. We won't go there. And it hasn't always been easy. In our marriage counseling, during the conversation, and this is what I spoke to my wife. Please understand one thing. You will always come second. And she looked at me, and the pastor was counseling with us, looked at us and said, whoa, 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 what do you mean? And I'm sure the pastor was thinking, I'm like, ministry's first and you're second. No. Jesus Christ is always first or he's not at all. And I tell my wife and I tell my friends, if it comes between me and you and Jesus, I promise you, you will lose every time. Because I know without him, I am in trouble. Without having that personal, intimate relationship, I am no good for my wife or my children or my community. Without understanding that he wants to be part of everything that I do, everything that I want to accomplish, that I've left him behind, and there's this separation between me and the one who created me for a purpose. Are we good so far? Here's where it gets a little sticky. Why are you still here? Why are you still here? He's not done with you. Okay, I can buy that. Here's what I tell people all the time. If God was only considered getting you saved, was all about, the day you got saved, he would have sucked you out of here and you would have left your shoes behind. Right? The moment I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, if that's all he was concerned about, he would have said, okay, Joe, you and I are right, let's go. But he didn't do that because he has a purpose. And the purpose he has for my life and your life is to build his kingdom. That's the problem that we have in today's culture and society, is that we have lost the understanding that it's not about us, about what we want, that he has a desire to transform the world through his church. That is our purpose. That's what he's called us to. Don't say, well, you're a preacher, you're called to that. If I'm not a preacher, I'm called to it. That everyone's called to this place of understanding that God is not done. Ready? If you're not building the kingdom, I promise you, you will struggle with purpose. You will search jobs, you will search fortunes, you will search money, you will search friendships, you will search relationships, you will go after everything you think will fulfill you, and it won't happen. And you begin to realize that the God who created you has created you for a purpose. And that purpose is to build his kingdom. I hear it all the time. Pastor Joe, I don't know my purpose. Pastor Joe, I don't know my purpose. Pastor, I don't know my purpose. You ready? My purpose is to love the hell out of people. If you're offended by that, you don't know Jesus. My purpose is to love the world the way he loved it. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, there's a lot of hell going on in your life. And we see people around us on a regular basis who are tormented and battled and struggle, and we want to give them religious doctrine, and we want to give them this, and we want to give them that. And Jesus says, no, you don't need to give them any of that. You need to give them what? You need to give them me. You need to show them the love of Jesus Christ. That somehow that we've got to get past this understanding. Listen to me. 90% of my ministry is done in the streets. As many of you know, I work with drug addicts and prostitutes. I work with gang members. I work with other churches. I work, anybody here at Greenwood Avenue? Anybody here at Pine Street in Cambridge? It's hood of the hood of the hood. 90% of our ministry is done in that community. And I can tell you that it's not easy, but I can tell you that there's this passion that comes inside of me because everyone I look at, every time I look in their eyes, I don't see the hood. I don't see the angry children. I see the people who were created in God's image. They were created in God's image, and God wants to love them, and God wants to restore them. And the problem is, we go by those communities, and we just keep on going because it's too dangerous, or it's too this, or it's too that. Listen to me. That's not what God's called us to. He didn't call us to drive around. He called us to drive through. He's called us to stop. He's called us to be His representation. He's called us, ready? How many of you guys know the passage out of Matthew 28? What's it called? The Great Commission. Ready? What does it say? I don't want to misquote it. Ready? Listen to me. So Pastor Joe, why didn't you put the scriptures up on the board? I don't put the scriptures on my board in my church. Because if you can't find it for yourself, you'll be lost. It's time that we as the church dig into the Word of God and read the Word of God for ourselves and what the heart of God is. Ready? The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I'll never show up. I don't really care what you do." He said, "I will always be with you." I want you to understand, because sometimes we think about going as a missions trip, going to all the world, right? So how many of you guys have been on a missions trip? How transformative is that? It is huge. But how many of you know that every day of your life is a missions trip? That every day, no matter where you go, that it is a missions trip, that as you go, it should say, as you go into the world, as you go into your job, as you go into your family relationships, as you get out of bed this morning, as you go here today, as you go there today, our ears should be attentive to what God desires. Because there's always desperate people around us with no hope, looking for hope, and the church gives us, forgive me, nothing but religious polity. They want the truth that a God who created them loves them. They want to see it in you and through you before they believe it. So as we go into the world, how do we carry such a presence of God with us? Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of what? That the presence of God literally lives where? In me. I don't have to look for Him. I don't have to search Him. I just have to say, "Hey, we're here together. What do you want to do today? As I go into this meeting, God, what do you want to do? Guys, we go and meet with this family. God, what do you want to do?" It should be our daily purpose to listen to the voice of God, to hear His command. And the purpose is so much greater than you could ever imagine. Listen to me. I'm telling you that greatness is in you. And the greatness is not for you, but it's in you for His kingdom. Somehow we've got to get to the place that as we go, that we ask God to show us those who are in need. It can be a major thing or it can be a minor thing, but it's still a God thing. As I've shared with you all before, some of the men specifically, I've been blessed by God to do amazing things. It's an incredible privilege. I don't share this. I've shared this maybe 3 times outside of small groups. that God has used me to pray with dead people, and three of them have come back to life. I have prayed with the multitudes of demon-possessed in third world nations, and God has set them free. I have prayed with people with blind eyes, and their eyes have been opened. We've taken on projects for the kingdom of God. There was no way to get them done, and somehow God got them done. Not because I'm intelligent, not because I'm well-learned, but because I have an incredible passion to see God move and transform a dying world around me. I want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be the big things. It can be the small things. I spoke at Salisbury Christian School at their chapel not too long ago, and I pulled things way back here. I'm not usually this calm. And they asked me to preach at this Christian school, and I was really, really, really nervous. And so I didn't sleep for 3 days. I take what I do serious. God, what am I going to share with these kids? And look, just because it's a Christian school doesn't mean they're Christian students, okay? You guys got that? Let's just be real. Just because you're in a Christian church doesn't mean you're a Christian. But I had this passion to see these kids experience the presence of God in such a way. And I preached the service, and it was more than I expected. And I was on my way home, and I was driving down the road, and I was late. I was going to have a lunch date with my wife. And my wife, when she wants to have a lunch date, my answer is, your wish is my command. And so I'm driving down the road, and I come across the Vienna Bridge, and there's a guy walking down the street hitchhiking. And my first response is what? I didn't see him. I cranked my truck up a little faster. I drove about a mile down the road, and that voice in my ear said what? You better go back and pick him up. And I said, God, but my wife. He said, who did you say you put first? You think I'm kidding? So I turn around, I go, and I pull over, and the guy is drenched in sweat, I thought. And so I got him in my truck, and I realized it wasn't sweat, it was tears running down his face. I said, hey man, come on, where are you going? He goes, you barely speak. He was just a nervous wreck. And I said, just calm down, take a deep breath. I had my Bible on the front windshield. I said, what's your name? He said, Kevin Johnson. I said, hey Kevin, my name's Joe. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I do not tell people I'm a pastor. I'm a guy who loves Jesus. And so Kevin gets in my truck. I said, hey, Kevin, what's going on? He said, my car won't start and blah, 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 blah. And he had all these things going on. He goes, but the truth is my son was in a car accident last night. And they're not sure he's going to make it. And I need to get to Easton. I said, Kevin, I got something to tell you, man. I drove by you. I went past you. I wasn't going to stop, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me, son, come back and get you. Hey, I want you to know that I'm Pastor Joe. How can I pray for you? And he began to weep and he began to cry. He said, I questioned this morning if God even knew I existed. Listen to me. Don't miss the small moments. Don't miss the small voice when it says, hey, I want you to do this, because God is trying to prompt you to bring hope. God's trying to use you to transform this dark world around you. Quit complaining about a dark world if you're not willing to be the light. Amen. I got Kevin in my car, and his car was broken down. I tried to pay for to get his car fixed. He said, sir, I can't do that. I said, Kevin, it's okay. I prayed for him. Haven't seen him since. But as I go, I want to listen to the voice of God. I want to hear the heart of God for his broken children. I could share with you 1,000 stories of God, how God supernaturally showed up and transformed someone's life by a simple act of obedience. John 14:12. Ready? Jesus is telling the disciples, he's getting ready to go to be with the Father. And he looks at the disciples and says, what? These and greater things shall you do in my name. Can I ask you a question? What did the things that Jesus did? Ready? One at a time. Come on. Raise the dead. Heal the blind. Fed the 5,000. Lame to walk. What else? Heal the leper. Heal the blind man. Change water into wine. The demoniac. Ready? Listen to me. Do you understand when Jesus gave that command, he didn't just give it to the disciples, he gave it to who? Everyone who believes. That he gave it to everyone that, hey, we want to advance the kingdom. We want to see God do amazing things. And God says, so do I. I'm waiting on. He's not waiting on your pastor to do it. Can I give you a little plug for your pastor? Do you know what your pastor's responsibility is to you? To train and equip you for the work of the ministry. The role of the pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and apostle, our goal and our role is to train you that you can go out and do all the things that Jesus asked you to do. And God wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever hope or ever imagine. But somewhere you've got to get a purpose and a passion and say, I am what? I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to share one more thing and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. If you want, if not, go without it. You can come on up. I won't bite. I quit yesterday. I'm fasting starting tomorrow, so you're safe. I don't eat meat for 21 days. No, literally, my wife and I will fast the next 21 days to get refocused and realigned with the purposes of God. I sit on the board of a Christian school. And I just want to see how good God is. We lose a lot of our students between the middle school and high school years because they want to play sports at a public high school. This was a board we begin to pray and say, God, what is your heart? God, what do you desire? God, what do you want? God, we know you don't want these children to leave, and God, that they're just getting to grow and to learn. And God, we believe that sports is an important aspect of it. It builds teamwork. It builds relationships. They pray together. They study together. God, there's so much more to it. And so we got together and we said, okay, God, well, we're in. What does that mean? We're in. And there's a piece of property about a mile down from the school that wasn't for sale. I was riding by the school one day, and that voice said, that's the property. And so we went to the real estate agent. I went to the board, and I said, I believe the property is down the road, and they're like, it's not for sale. How do you know God is bigger than the sale price? And I mean this in a loving way. And so we had a real estate agent, and the real estate agent said, it's not for sale, but I'll go to the owner. And so we sat down, and we came into agreement, and we said the property value should be X, Y, or Z, and we're willing to pay X, Y, or Z. This was on a Wednesday night at a board meeting because we passionately believe that we need well-rounded students who love God, who know God, who are educated, but are part of a team. And so at the board meeting, we decided we'd go after the piece of property. On Friday morning, someone walked into school without knowing we were praying. Instead, I believe that God's asked me to support you in the next vision he's given you. Here's a check for $2 million. We got a contract on the property for $1.7 million. Why do I share that? The passion and desire we had wasn't from us, it was from who? And if God is in it, there's nothing he can't do. Play something. Are you guys used to this? Listen to me. I'm just a real Joe. Listen to my heart. Listen to my heart. I'm just a normal guy who loves God beyond anything I can imagine. And he has saved me and healed me and set me free. And there's no place I'd rather be than in his presence. There's no place I'd rather be than encouraging his people to say there's greatness in you. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you passionately in love with him? Do you have that burning desire? Or has it faded? And if it's faded, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He hasn't left. He's patient. And he's kind and he's loving. But he's calling you back. He's calling you back to him. I love you. I love you. I love you. I gave everything to be with you. Have you made time to enjoy him? Have you made time just to be with him? Have you made time just to stop and say, God, you are so good? Or are you hung up in the rat race? And if you are hung up, he's saying, I'm waiting for you. I want to be with you. I've got it all under control. Do you want to build his kingdom? Do you want to build his kingdom? Do you want to build his kingdom? Do you realize when you stand before him, he's not going to judge you whether you're saved or not. He's going to ask you a question. What did you do with what I gave you? My heart's desire is when I stand before him, I hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant, come. Oh man, you may feel electricity going through the body. He's called the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of God. And that's what we need. Amen.